Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the next couple of lessons, I would like to offer some suggestions that will be of some help, I believe, to those of you who do like to study the Bible. We need to study the Bible intelligently, and I want to offer to you several suggestions that will possibly be of some help to you in that effort. Now, first we need to understand the Bible is the Word of God. Friend, let's understand that with which we are dealing. We're dealing with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." Well, we're dealing with studying of the Scripture. Now, this message in the Bible, it did not come from the mind of man. It came from the mind of God. Again, Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Friend, that which the Bible contains is that which the apostles preached, and that which they preached was the word of God. The apostle Peter, by inspiration, said, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is in any private interpretation." In other words, it was not from the interpretation, the thinking, the making of men. "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21. And Paul asserted also in Galatians chapter 1, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it." Well, Paul, how did you get it? "But by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So these passages of Scripture assert to us that that which we read in Scripture is indeed God speaking to us through His Word. Now, this being true, the Bible deserves our very sober and reverent study, more than just reading it, but a meditation, a consideration of that which the message is to us from our Heavenly Father. You see, friend, the knowledge of the Bible is vital to the welfare of man. Now, not everybody believes that, and everybody understands that or accepts that. But it's still the truth. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And furthermore, we cannot be saved from our sins that separates us from God without the knowledge of God's word. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I read to you from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. But you see the necessity of hearing the word of God, and that's what we have in the Bible. And we must come to a knowledge of that. We must know the truth. Jesus said, recorded in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Friend, Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy word is truth." We cannot be made free from our sins apart from the Word of God. Paul said that it was the will of God that men come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. We're permitted to escape the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the truth, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. Therefore, we must seriously consider this teaching. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Or as the American Standard Version says, handling aright the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. The church in Colossae was admonished by Paul to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Now the early hearers of the word heard it through inspired men, but they were noble because they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so, Acts 17 and verse 11. This was said of the people in Berea. How else can we come to a knowledge of God's truth except through the study of the Word? No person can be considered well-educated. He may have many degrees, but if he does not have the knowledge of the Word of God, he is lacking. Regardless how much schooling he may have received and other things, we must know the Word of God, and to do that, we must study. So I want us to consider some things that are necessary for us to study properly and to be able to gain the true message of God that's found in the Bible. Now, the Scripture says we're to rightly divide the Word of truth. That means we are to handle it aright. If we can handle it aright, then is it not obvious that we can also mishandle it? We can handle it in the wrong way. But there are several ways in which this word can and must be properly divided. Now, we're familiar, of course, with such the broad divisions as the Old Testament and the New Testament. And possibly you're familiar with the major divisions in each of these testaments, like the categories in the Old Law, the first five books are books of law, 12 books of history, 5 books called poetry, 5 books of major prophets, and 12 books of minor prophets. And then when you come to the New Testament, you have 4 books that tell us of the ministry of Christ here upon this earth. And the book of Acts is a history of the early church. Then 21 letters, 21 epistles written to Christians, teaching the Christians how to live as Christians. And then, of course, there's the prophetic book of Revelation. Now, each portion of Scripture, it has certain objectives, and all the parts fit harmoniously together to present the unified whole of the will of God for man. But once we are impressed, as we should be, that the Bible is God's Word, and that the knowledge of it is important to us, we must study it properly. And as we recognize these divisions, there are some very basic and fundamental rules of study that we must apply as we study the Word of God. Friend, one thing we must consider when we take the Bible and we begin to read, and we read certain passages, we got to ask, who is speaking? When we study the Bible and read a passage of Scripture, we need to know what is the source of this particular message. That makes a great deal of difference who is speaking. Let me illustrate. For instance, if I pick up the Bible and I read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14:6. Well, now, the Bible student is aware that this was a statement made by Jesus. But what if it had been made by somebody else? And it's vital to know that this was stated by Jesus. Again, we might read the phrase in Job 2 and verse 9, "Curse God and die." Well, who says such a thing as that? Why, that was Job's wife in the midst of all of his problems and troubles. What a difference if these two statements had been made by the opposite speakers. What if Job's wife had said, "No man cometh to the Father but by me," and Jesus said, "Curse God and die"? Oh, friend, we need by this illustration to know who is doing the speaking. "Ye shall not surely die" was spoken in the Bible. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Genesis chapter 3. Who said that? Why, we must know this was the part of the temptation that Satan placed before Eve. In 1 John 1 and verse 20, that passage includes the phrase, "I am not the Christ." Do you know if Jesus of Nazareth had said that, what a difference it would make? But of course that was said by John the Baptist of himself. Well, from this we can see how important it is to know who is speaking. And furthermore, we need to know to whom the words were spoken. For instance, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord," Acts 22:16. To whom was this instruction given? Was it to a saved man? Was it to an unbeliever? Was it to somebody who wanted to join some church? Well, no, to all of those things. This was an instruction given to the believing and penitent Saul of Tarsus, teaching him what he must do to be saved. In the book of Exodus, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Well, friend, that was given to the nation of Israel. This was a part of the Ten Commandments. This instruction was never given to Gentile people, and it doesn't belong to anybody now, because the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments as a part of it has been nailed to the cross, it has been fulfilled, it has been taken out of the way. Nobody is amenable to the Sabbath law today. And in Acts chapter 22, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Now, not just anyone can turn to these words and expect to be saved by them. The one who has never come to Christ is not the target of these words. These were words of instruction by the Apostle Peter to one who had believed and obeyed the gospel. He had been baptized. He was a saved man that had fallen away, and he was being taught how to be restored. Yes, it's very important to know who is doing the teaching and to whom was the teaching given. Not every phrase in Scripture applies to every situation. We must understand what is said, but we must understand who said it, and we must understand to whom and by whom was it stated. You know, a lot of people take the words that Christ said to the apostles about receiving the Holy Spirit and apply it to themselves. It doesn't belong to everybody. Those promises belonged to the apostles. Well, we're going to study in our next lesson some more suggestions that if we will apply them, it will help us to come to an understanding of the Bible, which is the Word of God. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.